Invite your attention this evening to the 119th chapter of the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. There are numberless, I guess, sermons, countless sermons that could be delivered from this great book. And particularly when you look at the 119th Psalm, and the great praise that the psalmist gives to God and to His Word. And time again, he is expressing thanksgiving. He is expressing love and he is expressing adoration for God and for His commandments, for His Word, the things that He has delivered unto us as His creation. I'm taking a risk, although I don't see anyone tonight that this ought to overlap. This is particularly an outline that Michael Light gave me a few months ago, and as I looked over it, certainly appreciated it, enjoyed it, and think it's something that we as well need to reflect on and think about. Now the psalmist particularly here, as he's looking at God's Word, there's going to be a number of reasons why he says, I will love God's Word. Or I do love God's Word. And how that as we look at the psalmist's attitude, we need to realize that's the same attitude that we need in our lives towards God's Word as well. You begin asking why. Why would the psalmist express such great love for God's Word? We also need to be asking as we look at these things, what is our attitude to God's Word? Is it the same as the psalmist? I think number one, we could certainly say the psalmist loved God's Word because he recognized that it will help young people. You look in verse 9, he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to your Word. He says a young man can cleanse his way, a young person can walk in that which is right by looking at God's Word. I think it's truly can be said we live in a society that says it really doesn't matter what young people do. And we really shouldn't expect very much from young people. They're just going to do what everyone else is going to do. They're just following the crowd. They're just sowing their wild oats. Maybe an expression we don't hear as much, but the general idea. Just let them be. After all, we shouldn't expect that much from them. But the psalmist reminds us a child, a young person, it can know God's Word. He can know the difference between right and wrong. And as he studies God's Word, he can learn that which he should do, even as he grows older. No matter what age we find ourselves in life, we find that God's Word contains what's best for us. And so he says, the young man can cleanse his way by taking heed unto the Word of God. We can't allow ourselves to just say, it really doesn't matter what kids are doing. Kids are just being kids. We need to hold up an expectation that you can know right and you can know wrong and you can follow that which is right. And David's going to be a great example as you look in his life. And you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and there you find him as a young man, and yet he's going out on the battlefield, and he's surrounded by seasoned warriors. He's surrounded by the army of Israel, and yet there's not a one of them that will go out against Goliath. And David says, is there not a cause? David is going to defend God. He's going to stand up for what is right, even though those that should know better all around him aren't doing a thing. And so he is willing to go out and trust in God. He's willing to go out and fight against Goliath. And so we need to express that same attitude even to our children today. As you're growing up, you can know right and wrong and you can stand for what's right. You need to understand that the principle contained in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 applies both to the young and to the old. Where he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The choices and the decisions you make at any age are going to have impacts on you. They're going to have consequences. And we can't say it doesn't matter what I do because I'm a young person. We know even those things that we do as a youth can very well affect ourselves in this life as we grow up. They can also affect us spiritually as we begin to know right and wrong. As we begin to become accountable for those choices and those actions we make in life, then we need to be ready to stand up and say, I'm going to do that which is right. Even though everyone around me may not decide to walk in that same way, I'm going to heed the instructions that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, that we put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Even as Timothy was instructed by Paul, and he would say, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Yes, Paul may have been writing to an older Timothy. We think of that word could be used of someone even up to the age of around 30. Nevertheless, even as we look at ourselves in life and we look at young people, how are we not going to be despised for our youth by our example? The world may not expect very much of you, yet even in your life you can decide, I'm going to do what's right. And I'm not going to be despised for my youth because I'm going to be an example of one that knows right and wrong and one that's going to do that which is right. So the psalmist is able to say, I love God's Word because it teaches even the young and even the old the ways that are right. He also says, I love your Word because it will complete what is missing in man. Again, look at verse 10. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He recognizes here there is something I need from God. There is an emptiness or there is a void that can only be filled by God and only be filled by His Word. I need His instructions. I need His guidance, His direction that He gives me in His Word. We go over to Psalm 119 and you can look at verse 127 through verse, 129 through verse 131. He says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul doth keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth, and I panted and longed for thy commandments. You see here, the psalmist expresses an understanding of how he desired and needed God's Word. Whether or not man will recognize it as they go through this life or not, our lives are going to be empty without God's Word as well. In the book of Proverbs, we read, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. There are a lot of ways that seem right to this world. There are a lot of things this world has no problem with. There are a lot of things that are legal, even according to the laws of this land. But that doesn't make them right. The psalmist recognizes, if I want to know right and wrong, if I want to be guided and directed in that which is right, then I'm going to have to turn to God's Word. Think of Ecclesiastes. Here's Solomon, a great wise man, but at the same time didn't always put that wisdom to good use. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's going to be looking at all the things of this earth, all the things of this life. Wherein can I find pleasure? Wherein can I find meaning? Wherein can I find purpose? I look at many things in this life, and yet he has to come to the conclusion all is vanities. He says in verse 8 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, vanities. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You look at the pleasures of the world, and you look at the riches of the world, the possessions of this world, whatever it might be. He says all of that's vanity. You won't find meaning in any of those things. Then where? Can we ever find meaning? Can we ever find purpose? Oh yes, drop down to verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, or the whole duty of man, as the King James puts it. It is the fullness of man. It's wherein we find purpose. It's wherein we find meaning. That we serve God, we fear Him, we honor Him, we seek His Word. The psalmist knew, I long after Your Word, I pant for it, because it guides, it directs me, it completes that which is missing. Oh, we're always going to have emptiness if we're not following God. Jesus would ask some in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you're not following me and my instructions, my word, you don't have a Savior. You don't have a Lord or a Master. Ultimately, you're serving your own selves. And yet I look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 as a promise and not as a threat. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Yes, Jesus is giving a warning to all people on the earth. Not just in saying, Lord, Lord, are we going to have that eternal home in heaven? But it's a great promise. Because He says, those that will enter are those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so the psalmist recognized, I can find meaning and purpose in God's Word. Not only that, he continues, and he says in verse 11, I love Your Word because it is something that is constant that I can always go to. Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. He knew. I can hide God's Word. I can tuck it away. I can memorize it. I can put it within myself and it's not going to alter. It's not going to change. Do you appreciate the comfort that ought to give us in our lives? I thought a few minutes ago as we were talking back in the kitchen earlier, Jim has some sort of equipment here. He's looking for a replacement part. Supposedly they don't make that machine anymore and it becomes harder to find that part. I worry about that sometimes when I buy things. Am I going to be able to find somebody to service this? Am I going to be able to find somebody that will repair it? I think about that sometimes even as we think about things such as education. And we talk about how things change over time and textbooks change over time. And what we learn one day, they might change and they might alter another. As you look back in your life, we probably all know things that at one time doctor said, oh, this is not good for you. And we found out, you know, that it really isn't so bad. It might even be helpful. And then sometimes they shift back again and say, no, that's nothing that you should be eating, or certainly nothing you should be eating regularly. A man's knowledge, our wisdom, it changes. Man's standards change. Look through life, and unfortunately we're living in a time of when man's morality on a large scale is changing. Things that weren't spoken of, things that weren't dreamed of years ago, yet are becoming common, popular, defended, because our standards change. People fail us. People change their minds, they change their words. And yet when we go to God and we go to His Word, we find security. We find peace. When you look at God, ultimately, you can boil it down to, I believe, that God never changes. And you think, well, we don't follow the Old Testament today. No. But God still expects the same thing out of man today that He expected out of those that lived in the Old Testament. God still expects the same thing out of me that He ultimately expected out of Adam when He placed him in the garden. I think the words of Micah express this very well in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And he's speaking to his people and he said, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justice or justly, to have mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Is that not what He's always commanded? Is that not what He's always expected? Humble obedience to His will. It's what He expressed to Adam when He placed him in the garden. He gave him one simple instruction. It's what He expected of the Jews when He gave them the Old Testament Scriptures. It's what He expects even of us today as we serve under the New Testament. Oh, His covenants with man may have changed, but His will ultimately has remained the same. That He just asks us to walk humbly with Him and His will. And so there is a comfort in knowing God's Word doesn't change. God's will doesn't change. We're not told here in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, and I hope it may not change, so I know how to serve You. He says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. It's constant. And the same true for us today. That I don't have to wonder when I get up in the morning, has God altered or changed His will? I don't have to wonder, was I in a safe state yesterday, but maybe now He's changed something, and so I don't know about that today. No, He tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Because it doesn't alter, it doesn't change. We could read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We're told by the Hebrews writer that this indeed is the last will and testament. That it's not going to alter, it's not going to change as long as this world stands. And so there is comfort, there is security in knowing that God's Word is a constant to which we can always turn. And as such, it's that which equips us for everything that we're going to face as we go through life. It's a guide, it's an instructor. Is that not what Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16? Yes, he's telling him it's God's inspired Word. As he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But he continues, and he says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It guides us, it directs us. It shows us when we're doing that which is right. It shows us when we're doing that which is wrong. And so it acts as a light to our path. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul's instructing Timothy there, you study. You know God's Word. You be guided and directed by it. It's the same thing that we would be encouraged even today. So that we might be able to say, even as Paul did, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I know I'm walking with Him. I know I'm being guided and directed in those things that are right. And even though things may change all around me, I don't have to wonder if God's Word is going to change. Then he continues as well. He says, I love the Word of God because it brings joy to the believers. To those that will trust in God and in His Word, it's going to bring joy. He says in verse 16, Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. He would even say in verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, this is far better than the pleasures of life that last but for a moment. I love to see things that bring joy, that bring a smile to my children's face. I had the opportunity to go down to Brownwood's little Christmas celebration this weekend. And Friday night we went through the train depot. And to see Seth's face light up as he watches those trains bring great joy to my face. And yet, largely, I know those pleasures for him will change. They'll soon be forgotten. But yeah, we're not talking about those things that are just fleeting. Those things that just bring some sort of joy for the moment, some sort of pleasure for the moment. We're talking about something that's lasting. True happiness, true contentment, true peace that comes from knowing we're doing that which is right. That's what the psalmist is taking comfort in. I'll delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. It's going to bring joy. It's going to bring delight. And the same can be said even for our lives. It's why Paul is able to write in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That lasting sense of peace and joy. But where does it come from? From knowing God that is the God of peace and following His will. He would continue there in the book of Philippians, and he says in verse 6 and following, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both heard and learned and received and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Says that's going to bring comfort. When we're doing the will of God, when we're walking with Him, and we know that we're doing that which is right, He says, then you can have every confidence that the God of peace will be with you. That we'll have peace, we'll have that contentment, because we know we're doing right. And ultimately, God wants us to have that peace. He wants us to have that joy. Jesus would say that in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He says, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Even as we mentioned in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He wants us to have that peace. He wants us to have that contentment. And ultimately, that's why He's given us His Word. He's done it for our good. It's sad sometimes to look at children as sometimes they grow older. They have no appreciation, seemingly, for the instruction, the care, the discipline of their parents. And in fact, will oftentimes rebel and just consider they're doing it because they hate me. They're doing it just so they can be oppressive. And yet they fail to realize the parent has their best interest at heart. Unfortunately, it seems many people look at God's Word the same way. He's just trying to interfere in my life. He's just trying to be oppressive. And yet the psalmist shows a great attitude that he recognized God's Word is what's best for me. And so I'm going to take pleasure in it. Can we say the same thing about God's Word for our own lives? I'm going to take pleasure in it because I know it's what's right. I know it's what's good. I know it's what's going to bring peace and pleasure and joy as I follow it. And so he says, I will cling to it. What part of it? And he will say, all of it. Not just pieces of it. Not just the things I like or the things that I agree with. But he'll say in Psalm 119 and verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Not pieces of it. But I love your law. Verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. American Standard, the sum of thy word is truth. The whole of it, all put together, but also from the very beginning to the very ending, your word is true and it will last. So that's what I want to follow. But then also, verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. All your words, all your commands, all your instructions are right. They are good. They're what I need. They're for my best interest. And so I'm going to take joy and pleasure in following them and then knowing I'm doing that which is right and I'm enjoying that right relationship with God. Which brings us to our final point. He says, I love the Word of God because it will bring us or lead us all the way to glory. Look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist knows beyond a shadow of a doubt it's God's Word that's going to guide, it's going to direct me. It's going to lead me in those things that are right. It's going to show me the things that are wrong that I might avoid them. Just like walking in a dark forest, a dark street. We can't see the errors or the problems and the troubles that might be in our way. We can't see where we can safely step and where we can't. But if we're carrying a flashlight or a lantern, something of that nature that sheds off light, and then we can see, we're able to step. It acts even as a road map. And we can see maybe the trail that goes before us. And he says, in the same way, that's what God's Word is to me. It shows me that right and that good path. And that's what God desires for us. So I want to close with the idea that Paul was writing unto Titus, even those same ideas, I believe, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is God's Word to us? That's which has been revealed unto us. That's which has been revealed by inspiration, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Is that which has been revealed unto us by the grace of God? Paul is writing to Timothy, Titus here. And he says, is that what's going to instruct us? It's going to teach us the things that we should do, and it's going to teach us the things that we should avoid. Not just so that God can have control over us, but for a purpose, for our own best interest. He says that we're looking for that return of Christ, and we're looking for that eternal home that we can have with Him. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If we study His Word and we put it into action in our lives, we're going to be going down that right path. We're going to be guided and directed by it that we can enjoy that eternal home with Him in heaven. Do we love the Word of the Lord? Do we love God's Word even as the psalmist is expressing time and time again throughout this 119th Psalm? Do we love it to the same extent that we're going to follow it? How sad that some grope around in this world in nothing but darkness. They're blinded and trying to walk in their own ways, in their own paths. And yet the psalmist knows therein is emptiness, darkness, dead-end road. And so how thankful he is that he has God's Word that rightly and correctly instructs him and directs him. And so not grudgingly, but willingly, he's going to follow the Word of God. Will we do the same even tonight? Maybe we do the same even tonight by becoming a New Testament Christian. We put our Lord on in baptism, having believed His Word, repented of our sins, confessed Christ, that we might have our sins washed away, that we need to make a decision even tonight. Maybe I've wandered away, I've not done that which is right, but I can come back to Him. Maybe it's even just the personal decision, how much more I can love God's Word. How much more I can honor it in my life. How much more I can decide I'm going to follow Him and His will every day of my life, that it might lead me all the way to eternal glory with Him. If you're subject to that invitation, why not, even as we're here tonight, come and let that be known as together we stand and sing.